Welcome back, everybody, to the Stark Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and everything in between. Please take a moment to check our show notes to find our social media, merch, and more. Today, we are recapping the third episode of Ahsoka, titled Time to Fly, in full spoiler details. So if you haven't seen the episode, I would get out of here. And I'm going to be doing this entire podcast with a blast shield on my face, but luckily, this man has always got clear vision. It's Tommy Pizzullo.
The boys are back, baby. Here, boop, 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 boop.
Well, we're just flying around in space. But Michael, I think you messed with my presets. They're all messed up.
I'm so sorry, Tommy.
It's okay. Oh, forgive me. I gotta get better. I gotta be able to not use my presets, you know.
Yeah. We do have a guest here today. It's little Jason. Hey, Jason. Green-haired, is that his name? Jason?
I think it's... You got me confused because I have a real-life
friend. Yeah, Jason. Your friend Jason. Hi, Jason, if you're listening.
I thought you were surprising me.
That would have been fun.
It felt like an episode of Maury or Tommy, this is actually an intervention. We have your friend here, little Jason. it's Jason. Yeah, it is Jason, Jacen, though, because it's Star Wars, and they gotta just change a couple letters.
Which I believe is actually the name of a character in Legends. I think that was Han Solo and Leia's kid in Legends. But
you think they just took one child and put them in another? Do you think it was one of those crazy Star Wars hospital switcheroos where where Hera was in labor and they just switcherooed the kids? Oops, this is actually Luke's kid.
Why does Leia's kid have green hair? I mean,
yeah. I think we've nailed it. I think we figured out their secret this whole time.
All right, Tommy. I'm going to throw it to you. Episode 3 of Ahsoka, what did you think?
I thought it was great. I thought it was fun. Like, I don't think it's going to rock anyone's socks. Like, I don't think there's, so my jaw wasn't on the floor, but I don't think every episode needs to be, you know. I think sometimes in other, Marvel properties, I've been like, this episode, what was it here for? But this felt like there is points to the episode. You get the character development. You really see the relationship between Ahsoka and Sabine more. And I think I've heard some hate, and I think you're looking at it too one-dimensional for the people that are hating on this episode. I think on a binge is going to really transition and create a really fluid story when it's all together. And let's just wait. Let's hold off. We're stuck in space floating for a little bit. Let's get the machine going and then we can go.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It was the best way I can put it was this perfect union of old school and new school Star Wars, right? We have so many callbacks to A New Hope in this episode, and that's always a warm and fuzzy you get whenever they're able to do something like that. But also, we're trying new things too. Ahsoka fights starships in space? What's going on?
Very cool. And listen, if this episode wasn't your thing, go back to a time when we had to watch the Book of Star Wars. And then you'll appreciate this episode probably 10 times more.
We've been at the lows, Tommy, and we're here now. And
we've seen it all. Maybe that's why I'm so giddy. This, even if this is a B, I'll take a B. I'll take a B any day, Michael. B plus. I will. I'm okay with this. Like you're saying, it's a perfect meld. It felt like Rebels, but it felt new. It feels fresh. And I think that's what I'm enjoying about this.
I want to get your opinion on this, though, because it seems to be a large topic and the Star Wars fandom or TV fandom in general. A lot of people have issues with how connected to Rebels this is. And I know you and I, big Rebels fans here, I think we can easily tell them to go suck it. But where do you fall on this? Is it a little weird that this is a straight sequel of Rebels?
I don't think it's an issue. I think it didn't have to be an issue. I think it is because I think the marketing didn't sell it as a Rebels thing. And I think people feel like they got the wool pulled under thinking this was an Ahsoka thing. And it is, but it does feel like you have to do your homework and you have to watch Rebels a little bit. And I can understand why some people are frustrated with that. I think if they came out of the gate and right from the beginning said, hey, this is a Rebels sequel. And I think Dave did say hey, you should watch Rebels. And everyone's like, ah, why do I have to watch another show to watch this show? That literally happens all the time. There is so, like, the people that complain about that, there are so many shows that are spinoffs that you have to be like, well, you can watch it, but, like, honestly, you should watch the thing that came before. It'd be like watching Fuller. I think I said this last week. Like, it'd be like watching Fuller House and not watching Full House and being like, huh, I really hate these plots that I don't understand because I never watched Full House. Like,
well,
I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, this is like the entire, this is our entire podcast, right? We're watching the thing before the other thing, right? It's Marvel. That is all of Marvel. You can't just hop into Marvel anymore. That's not how it works.
So I think if they would have marketed it differently, I think people want to be as up in arms, because I think that's the only thing I can say that I think they did wrong was like not pushing heavily how this will be connected to Rebels, and don't be upset when it happens, because we're telling you up front that this is what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's dive into this freaking episode, Tommy. And we open here on a very interesting training scene between Ahsoka and Sabine. And there's a lot going on here. She's training with Hu Yang. We get the blast shield back here to do some blind training. And, you know, this scene has a lot of, like, very heavy, like, Eastern influences as far as, like, martial arts and samurais go. Like, they're in a freaking dojo here, Tommy. What do you think of all this?
I really loved it. I loved Hu Yang's, like, the whole light. I think we've seen that before, possibly, maybe not, but I
don't know.
I love it. It feels like when you're golf, you know, you get one of those golf machines and it shows you your arc and it shows you how well you hit the ball. Like, I thought this was so cool for the Jedi. And the whole scene in general, it had such a vibe to it. It also tells us so much about Ahsoka's style versus Sabine's style. And, like, the whole episode as a whole is definitely about that, right? Like, Ahsoka needs to stop thinking about it from her point of view and start putting herself into Sabine's as a mentor. She needs to learn that aspect of, because she's never done that. You know, she was always the Padawan. She was never the master. So I love this scene. I think it was a really good setup. I loved you're the worst candidate I've ever had. Why'd you tell her that? Well, it's the truth. Like, so fun. The humor. This is what I'm saying. Like, it felt like pure Rebels. Like, you get a full scene, a full episode of Rebels that's a training scene. It's not a big deal. And I love this. You get the humor throughout the episode. Yeah, I really thought this was a good way to start it out.
Yeah, no, I had a lot of fun with this. I want to talk about, like, the parallels between Sabine and Luke Skywalker, which is very heavy in this. There are at least two lines that Sabine says almost verbatim that were Luke lines, you know, when she is training and putting on the blast shield, and also later when she's in the gunner seat and celebrating taking somebody. Like, this is, it's kind of interesting to me, because it's like, you know, you might expect this from, I don't know, Kylo Ren or somebody that, like, is more related to Luke. But it's just interesting that, like, they're choosing to use these parallels on Sabine of all people.
And it is, but the more I think about it as you're talking, it makes more sense than, like, an Anakin or someone, because Luke and Sabine, what they have in similar is, like, the Jedi way was so foreign to them. Out of all the people we've seen, it was the most foreign, because Luke was so out of it at that point. And the Jedi were dead. It was a new thing. And I feel like that's kind of from Sabine's point of view, as opposed to Anakin lived around it. As much as, like, yes, he wasn't a part of it exactly, it still was something that he knew. There were stories. He saw them. I think, like, that's the comparison. And I like that the show's kind of pushing into that a little bit.
You're muted.
So let me ask you this. You know, I don't know if we want to go full cameo draft at some point, but do we get Luke at any point in the season?
Man, I've thought about it, because obviously they set up that Ahsoka and him are homies, right? Like, we've seen them hanging out at the temple. Do we get a Luke cameo? I could see it. Do we get a baby? Do we get Grogu? They go back to that time. It's like a flashback to set the timeline of all that. I think not, just because it seems like they're really focusing. Maybe in another season. I think this season is the Ezra Rebels conclusion season. So I feel like if we get further, totally, I think we're going to get more cameos. I think if any cameos, it's going to be Rebels cameos. But I would like it.
Yeah, no, well said. I feel like we don't necessarily need it here, but okay, well, let's move on from the training scene, and we could talk about some Hera. Hera's got some interesting stuff going on in this episode, where we see that she is very much wanting to present this idea of finding Thrawn to Mommy Mothma makes a return here.
Chancellor, how dare you? You disrespect the Chancellor.
I was very excited to see Mon Mothma back. And it's interesting that Mon Mothma, she basically, depending on the show she is either kind of the good guy or the bad guy, right? Where, like, she's very much somebody we're rooting for in Andor. And here she's kind of like being like, no, you can't do that.
Well, did you get that from her? It was hard because she didn't give her opinion, I felt like. I feel like all the other senators said that, and she's like, oh, I'll talk to them offline. But I think you're right. I think she just didn't want to say it in front of Hera because I think they have history. But it is interesting. And seeing her in this different light, like you're saying, it's like, it's weird because in one show she's the main character and now we're looking at her and it's like, oh, you're second, like you're just here. You're not the person we're focusing on here. It's interesting because I haven't thought about that a lot with shows because it does, you know, we don't get that chance. I like the scene. I think for some people, the political stuff is, I like that it's becoming this through line throughout all the shows. It's like the connective tissue is all this mess that's happening with all the governments. Listen, you can learn a lot about politics from these shows. But I thought this was interesting from the senators. And what I really appreciate about it, it probably showed me the most Hera that I really liked of this. Like, she's a fighter at heart. She was born in a war stricken planet. She, you know, I think it is very poignant that they showed us her kid right afterwards, because there's a lot of parallels to, she had to grow up in a war planet and she does not want her kid to have to experience that like she did.
Tommy, are you worried about Hera at all? The fate of Hera?
No, I think... I hope not, Michael. Now you're making... Now I am. I wasn't.
I don't know, like, you know, if there, I feel like, you know, Dave Filoni notoriously loves his characters, is not going to kill them off. But I feel like if there's anybody in the show that I feel a little worried about, it's Hera. I don't know what it is. I feel like they're setting her up for like this, you know, kind of rebelling even within the new Republic, kind of becoming the hero. And then also they're setting up the Jason Syndulla stuff where, you know, is he going to have his tragic backstory? I'm worried about it.
Should we have a death draft? Have you, back when Harry Potter was first coming out, I remember there was a big death draft when book 7 was getting released of like, what are the odds of these characters dying? I think Hera's up there. Like, now, like, if I'm ranking all of them, obviously bad guys, like, you know, but if we're talking about heroes, Hera, maybe Ahsoka, but I think there's too much juice with Ahsoka to take her out. Sabine, no way. She is the mother of the group. I could see it. I don't like it. Can Jason just have parents?
Not in Star Wars. Are you kidding me?
You're right. You're right. What was I thinking? Hey, Jason, you better forget about your hand too, buckaroo. You're going to lose it soon.
I mean, that's the whole Jedi thing. Like, they take you from your parents. We've talked about this. Like,
no, I know. And it would make sense that, like, Sabine and Ahsoka, like, raise it. You're selling me a little. You're getting me because it would make sense. Like, he goes off with these people. It takes him out. You know, they become the rebels, the second iteration of the rebels. They leave the government seeing how toxic it was from the Hera stuff.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you.
No, I think you're hitting on something because there's definitely something coming. The senators were a little sus. We got the senator Zino, I think was his name, that was a little... I liked him a lot. I thought he was interesting, and I saw a little tidbit that he actually is the father of one of the main characters from Star Wars Resistance.
Okay. Now, when are we getting the Star Wars Resistance live-action sequel?
At this point, they're just going to go, Squadron, get out. Come on, we need you thrown in.
Yeah.
Well, you know what we'll not get probably the one they should make, which is the most recent games series that would be very fun in a TV show format.
Hold on.
Yo, your draft. I
think actually, if I put my money on an appearance from Cal Kestis anywhere, it's going to be in the Dave Filoni movie. And actually, I think that's the better place to have a death draft, because I do feel like that's going to be like the Avengers Endgame of all of these TV shows. So, that's where my money's at.
Okay, well, like, now that you got me scared about Hera, I will say, I am liking what they're doing. I like this whole war, the idea that she's, like, wartime doesn't stop just because you say it stops. Like, you have to constantly plug the pipe is still leaking. You just have to, we now have cleaned up the mess, but we still have to put tape on the holes every time they show up. We can't just ignore that holes are going to keep coming. And I feel like that was her point during this. I think obviously there's going to be more coming from it. And I think there's definitely this like tension of like, how long is she going to stay this government like henchman at this point, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So, do you have anything else? The next thing on my list was Jason Syndulla. Did you like the green hair?
It's a choice. I'm interested to know the reason. I thought at first it was like, oh, maybe like Aunt Sabine like got him some hairspray. Like it was almost like that, like more of the punk route than like natural green hair, because it's hard. It looks pretty fake, so it's hard to tell if it was a choice like that. But I take it or leave it.
Well, you see him at the end of Rebels, and I think he looks like a little freak in Rebels. Like, his hair is way more green than that. He looks like a little monster. Like, I think they
Look more like a monster?
No, I think they fixed him. I think he just needs to be a human or a Twi'lek.
I think he needs to be human. I want to nix the hair altogether. Just make him a regular. Yeah.
That's weird. Why would that make sense? How does that make sense?
the genes are only in the hair cells. That all the DNA from her side went right into the hair cells.
Just right on the scalp, baby. Okay, so let's move on to the space dog fight that we get. Again, I'd mention I got like big A New Hope vibes from this scene as well. A lot of cool stuff going on here. Hu Yang trying to like download information that kind of adds some tension to everything. And then we get Sabim in the gunner seat. Meanwhile, yeah. What do you think?
Listen, I give Star Wars a lot of crap. But one thing I feel like that, even on shows like Book of Star Wars, that notoriously I'm a huge fan of, I'm a huge hater of, they are elevating their fight scenes and they're elevating their space battles and everything they've done. I've never seen them like redo like moments. And that's hard. They've made a lot of fight scenes at this point in the Star Wars. You know, if they repeat stuff, it's an homage. I thought this was so creative. I thought this was, I was in it. I know like maybe some people are bored by it. I thought it was very fascinating when they were stuck in space. I'm like, oh man, like Sabine, you got to stop looking around, like fix this machine, like stop it. So I was into it, and I'm not big on battles, but I thought like the creativity of having her go outside and have to defend Mono-E ship. It's fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I loved here. I love this. This actually gave me a bit of like some a Force Awakens vibes when they first get the Millennium Falcon and the gunner seat gets stuck in position. So Rey has to like flip the ship around in order to help him aim. And we kind of got some of that here where Ahsoka is like whipping the ship. And then like she's like more spraying and praying and like happening to hit them based on how Ahsoka moved the ship. So like the teamwork there was unmatched. Hu Yang was great. Okay, Tommy, you know I love the sound clips. Hu Yang is a sound clip machine.
I think we might have to have a droid draft at some point, and I really think he's skyrocketing up the ranks for me.
Yeah, it was really hard for me to come up with one voice clip for him this week, but this is what I got.
On the object, no. However, I have several thoughts on everything else going on.
He's just so sassy. It's great.
It was the scan complete shutdown. I'm with you. Like I loved all this, and I loved the little like. But again, this is why I like this episode. Is there's little character moments. I like the moment where Ahsoka stopped trying to tell Sabine what she needs and ask for once, being like, "What do you need right now? Like, what is going to help you get this job done? Instead of me telling you what you need to do to get it done, you tell me, and I'll help you as your team." It's such a small moment, but I think it's going to be like it's what needs to be done in their whole Jedi training.
Yeah, no, good stuff here. So, and more on the like outside. This was crazy. What did you? Okay, let's start here. The suit fit check on Ahsoka. What did you think?
I do like it. The EV suits are very fun, or EVA suits. It's always just funny to me when it's like, that was a very quick. That's got to be like a. How do you think they practice those changing? Like that was not a lot of time for her to have to get all of the tentacle hair into the I'm just saying, like, I feel like I would have been dead in the water. I would have been stuck in my suit as we're getting blasted out because, but I liked the suit. I thought it was fun.
Yeah. You know, I think it very much like, you know, matches her. I know the Lekus, when like Hera has Lekus, and I think Ahsoka has Montrails. I think they're called. But I like the suit matched her Montrails, I think. And then also kind of like the New Republic colors. Like I felt like I really liked the suit, so I was all about it. Yeah. I mean, I was actually spoiled on this.
Oh.
I opened up YouTube before I saw the episode, and I saw the suit, and it was like Ahsoka in space. I was like, "What?"
Did it make you more excited, or like when it happened, was it like, "Oh, okay, I've seen this"?
I think it was a healthy tease. Like I would rather have not seen it, but like it didn't ruin it.
Yeah,
by any means. So,
and there was humor. The thing that I'm enjoying is like the stakes. I definitely didn't think they were gonna die. Right, like plot armor galore for these two. But there still was like a sense of urgency, and then there was like lightness that, again, like this feels so much like it feels like they need to learn from this show, and not just because it's a Rebels sequel, but like learn from it. And I keep pushing on these points because I'm so satisfied with what they're doing of like, it can be goofy, it can be dramatic, it can be all these things. That's what Rebels did so well. It was a melting pot of, it was very dark sometimes and yet very light at other times. And I feel like they need to do that with Star Wars. If Star Wars is dark, it's aggressive, but it also has its moments of levity. And this moment where she was floating in space and was like, yeah, come pick me up now. Like, it's Ahsoka funny. Like, that is something that I could see her saying. I thought it worked for me. Yeah, really, really thought this was a tight episode.
Yeah, and Tommy, my complaints about Ahsoka being too weak, I feel like that is not, like, she was killing it this
time. Can you fight in space, Michael?
No, I can't. I wouldn't even if the Earth was exploding, I wouldn't go to space. I would stay on the Earth.
Yeah.
I like being on Earth, no matter what.
I agree. I think if I had to choose deep sea or space, I'm choosing space though. Deep sea, it is less mapped out. It is less searched than space, and that terrifies me.
Okay. Yeah, that's an ocean gate. So there's that.
I mean, yeah, that didn't help my ocean fears.
Okay. We also get the return of the Purrgils here. Our little space whale hyperspace buddies are here. Interesting way to bring them in, I guess. What do you think about them being here? I guess
I think they're going to be like important to how they get. Like I think it's a plot point. I think it was fun to see them in and get that recognition.
They looked great too. The CGI on that spot. Yeah. On.
And I think it's like, it's hard to tell now. If it's just a one-off thing, then I'd be like, it's fine. But if it actually does get used into how they're going to follow in the, like, if I had to predict in the next episodes, they're going to try to stop this hyperspace thing. They're not going to be able to stop it. And then they're going to have to get on the whales or do something with the whales to follow behind and continue forward. So we'll see.
Yeah. We haven't touched on the enemies of this whole scene, which were Hati and Morok chasing them and their starfighters. Tommy, there's so much chatter online about this Morok guy.
People love him. He's the hot commodity right now. I in my like bomb shelter am getting little like verbs of like, ooh, is he blank blank? Is he this guy? People want to know.
My gut is, I think this is a Mephisto situation.
You think we're hyping it up more than like, he's just a one-up. He's going to become the next if that's the case, he's the next Boba Fett. Like if he's just like no other backstory, it's like, this is his intro. I think he gets hyped up if that's the case. Then.
I think people get mad. I think this like, this is like, you know, I've guessed it on two podcasts outside of this since the show started, and it's been like the hot topic on both. Like, people want to know, and I don't know. I'm a little worried. I do think so.
Singer? Is this like take the mask, take it off?
It's like Howie Mandel. I never watched.
Job of the Hutt. Yeah. How'd you get in there?
Just to lay out some of the theories, I'm not going to break them all down completely. I think the biggest one is Ezra. I've heard things about Starkiller. I've heard things about. I said there's
have
a
you
lot
heard Dark Jar Jar? Was it just my take?
I think you might be the sole person with that one. So good on you.
When it happens, they'll be laughing.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I guess we'll see. I'm not holding my breath. I mentioned on the last podcast that I think it's a little convenient that like they have this character. It's kind of random. So I don't know.
I will say I love this group of baddies. I'm almost kind of rooting for them just as much as.
Sorry.
No, you're good. You're totally good. I love this group of baddies. Like, I don't, I'm kind of rooting for them, like, more than I'm rooting for, not more, probably equal that I'm rooting to the Ahsoka group, because they're, like, dynamic. Like, there's so much personality there. Like, there's so much going on. I feel like there's so much backstory that I want to know more about with them. And, like, it's what I wanted Obi-Wan, it's bad people, to, like, the Inquisitors to feel like. And I just never felt it from them. And I'm feeling it with these guys. I'm so excited for Bats. I think he's such a good, like, villain. I love his kind of, like, Jedi, but the right way. And, there's a lot going on with them. And I think this showed. Listen, I'm excited for whoever is behind the mask. If it's no one, just make his death epic. If I feel like he's going to go. So just make him epic death and not just, like, a off screen or like you know, in this, like, he just blows up in his fighter and it's like, oh, did he actually die there?
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned more like being kind of like the breakout character here, but I don't know if you're on my side of TikTok, the fan edits and thirst traps for Shin Hati or
she's fun. She has that Ventress. I think we compared before, like, she has that Ventress vibe to her that makes her so captivating, and like the almost like resting daggers that she's always shooting with her eyes. Like, yeah, she's definitely a breakout for me too. Like, I think she's someone I want to see like be a foil to Sabine, because they're like the younger apprentices that I think, like, I want to see more of their interactions.
Tommy, kind of random, Mission Impossible guy?
No.
The newest Mission Impossible had Pom Klementeff, who plays Mantis, but her character in the newest Mission Impossible is basically very similar to Shin Hati, just kind of like, you know, just very chaotic and same okay. vibe. So that's recent memory, so there's a comparison for everybody.
Interesting. Yeah. No, I have no vibe, so for me.
Perfect.
No Mission Impossible vibe, so I've no idea. Is he, she... You could be like Tom. You could have told me she was like Tom Cruise's character. I would have probably said yes.
Yes. She's yeah, taking them up the mantle for sure. So we end on a bit cliffhanger, I guess. They end up landing on this planet. And we see Baylan, who's like, go and get them. So it's interesting. I kind of like how they go from like sky fight to land fight here. I think we're gonna have some cool stuff next week.
I agree. And the hot take I'm hearing is that liking this ending is atrocious. People are saying worst ending in Star Wars ever I've seen.
They didn't watch Rise of Skywalker.
Well, and this is my thing. Like, I think it's because it's a shorter episode. They're like, well, you could have fit in another fight. But, like, there's so much TV that ends on a cliffhanger. Game of Thrones loved to notoriously show the bad guy, and then the fight starts in the next episode, so you get more time with the fight. Why are we complaining about him looking for Boning, being like, we got to go after them? We got their moment. It was, let it be two separate episodes. I thought that was perfectly fine. And it didn't leave me being upset that I didn't get more. I don't know.
Yeah. And it's also like a transition in the fight. Like I said, we're going from sky to land here. They land and they're setting us up for this was the sky episode. Now we're getting the land episode. And like, I don't know, it seems like a natural transition to me. I guess, I don't know if this is a fair comparison, but what about the cliffhanger? Actually, I think I was going to say Across the Spider-Verse type cliffhanger, but I think that one might be worse. But
I like that one. I think yeah, that one I always see other people, and I just politely, like, it's like when you walking down the street and you go to the other sidewalk without saying anything to the person. You're like, I need to avoid the subject because I'm on the opposite side of a lot of people with that one.
It's a bad comparison because we're not there, but maybe, what is it? Are we too patient?
Maybe we're just like too like rebels. Like, I think if this was, I do think I will give a little kibosh to us. I do think that this was another show that we're not excited for. If this was Book of Star Wars, I would have hated this. I would have been so upset. ending of an epic fight, but I think they didn't need it. I think that's the thing, is like the show didn't warrant it because it was a good episode without the fight. If I needed the fight, then I can see being upset, but we got Ahsoka in space. Do we need her now fighting another battle? It feels like it then takes away from the battle we just watched.
Yep, I'm with you. This was cool. So
yeah,
eat it, Star Wars fans.
Yeah. No, Michael, they're going to hate us now.
Whatever.
Oh, we're the bad boys in Star Wars podcasting.
People are going to... That's the thing about being a Star Wars fan. Somebody's going to hate you for your opinion. Yeah, just
should we just go all in? Should we just be that podcast where it's like... Come at us. Give us your hot takes. We'll counter all your hot takes and make you, yeah.
Tommy, it's not the worst idea. I mean, I feel like, you know, to really bounce off, you need some sort of gimmick. And, you know, if we're just like, you know, like maybe like this is going to be a horrible comparison, but like the Andrew Tate of the Star Wars fandom, you know, like controversial, like, and blows up because of that. Like, I think maybe that's where we need to be.
Yeah. Just like, listen,
just less sexist.
Yes, of course. 100%.
Tommy, is this the most feminist Star Wars show?
I think so, and I'm really enjoying it.
Who are the men? There's no men in this show. Balin.
Yeah, the bad guy.
Yeah.
And we're also bad. We're also,
man.
Man. I think that's the lesson we're supposed to take away from this. Just let women run everything. It would probably be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I really
build a giant hyperspace ring and fight each other. I don't know.
Yeah. Because but this is even a good point. Like our main villain who's controlling the Balin and all them is a female. Mm-hmm. Like I think I really hope Ezra doesn't just come in, and that's why I think we're gonna get Ezra at the end. And maybe we'll get like a Rebels spin-off show that focuses on that. Ahsoka becomes its own thing. Because I think it is really important that like we do continue to show this female duo right now. I think the Sabine Ahsoka relationship is really interesting to me and really captivating, and seeing their dynamic and again, just having two women on a screen for an entire episode without having them talking about a man, like their drama is not focused around a fellow man or isn't interrupted by a man. It's do more, do this. Anyone, like all shows should do this.
Is this the first time Star Wars has passed the Bechdel test? I think that's a possibility.
I honestly think you're right. But watch, they're gonna. I'm still nervous. They could still mess it up, Michael. Yeah. They could still mess it up. Because right. It's still kind of about a man. Like, let's be honest. Like, they're still searching for Ezra. Yeah. It's still kind of like, I'm saying like, oh, it's so good. They're still not hitting it 100%.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Good point. All righty then, Tommy. What else? What else in the episode about Ahsoka? Predictions?
I think I made a couple throughout. I'm excited. I'm just really hopeful. I think at this point I'm feeling as hopeful as I was with like Loki. It's like putting myself back in those shoes. It's like WandaVision, like those are the shows that this is reminding me of how I feel. So far so good. We'll see how they got quite a few episodes. I think we're gonna spend a bit of time in this area. I don't think they go back. Like, I think if anything, it's just going to be a one traction to Ezra. I don't think we're going to, you know, reconvene, go back to their home, have like a down episode. I think it's going to be all systems go. Hera's going to sneak out and join them. That's one of my predictions. She's going to go rogue.
I think it's going to be like the, you know, when Han Solo comes back to save Luke, I think that we're going to get a similar situation there where like mid fight, she shows up.
Do you think she shows up with Zeb? You got the band. She. That's how we don't have to do the whole like song and dance of going to find Zeb. We just yada yada all that. She already went and found Zeb. Cut that out. Trim that fat and just continue on. I think that's what you do.
Love it. I'm here.
I don't need them going to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need. Well, they already have the character art. Like the minute I saw him in the other show, I was like, well, we have to get him. At that point, it feels like a slap in the face if they don't give him the whole crew together, because you already did the work of creating the character art for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So hold on to that, everybody. Tommy, you know, short episode, short podcast. But I guess we can talk about some things here at the end. Do you have a recommendation?
I do. Some big things have come out, like back to back to back. One thing that I haven't watched personally, but friends have, recommending it because I'm anime live actions are usually pretty bad, guys. And I've heard the One Piece live action that just came out on Netflix, actually pretty good. It's not bad from what I'm hearing. You know, I can't, this is not a Tommy personal rec because I don't, you know, I can't speak on it. But I'm hopeful that it's good. So more anime live actions are good and not Death Note and all these other ones that were really, really bad. But my personal one.
Well, hold on. I got to comment on this.
Sorry, you're right.
I hate it. I'm not going to watch it. Why are we doing this? What's the point? It's like, I've never watched an animated project and said, this should be live action. I don't watch the Disney ones. I don't watch the anime ones. Like, I hate live action remakes.
I agree with the remake. I think is Ahsoka not a live action adaptation of?
It's a sequel.
but that's what One Piece is a remake, and I do agree with you. It's like tell a new story with it if you're gonna do it. But listen, if they're gonna do it, if I approve it or not, Michael. So I'd rather get up. I'm putting on my disguise. I'm going into the forces because if you can't beat them, join them. And at this point, I'll take good if they're gonna make it. I want good live action remakes and not bad ones.
Yeah, you very successfully countered my point by pointing out that I was being hypocritical. But it's, yeah, okay.
No, well, but your point still stands. Like, they are, at the end of the day, let's make creative content. That's a whole other podcast we can do about how original content should be everywhere out there. Look at everything everywhere all at once, how people were captivated just because it was something so original that we've spent so many years not watching original content and just watching comic book remakes and all these other remakes and all these other adaptations of just adapting content and not creating original stories anymore.
Okay, sorry, I cut you off. Let's get to your real rec.
No, it was good. I could go on a rant. My real rec. So this one's kind of like Ahsoka in the sense that I do think you need to watch something before. I don't think you have to, but I think it would help with the watching content because there are references and you're definitely picking up at a certain point. Is Fiona and Cake has come out on Max. It is the spin-off, but I would honestly say, having watched it, the sequel of Adventure Time. I loved it. I thought the first two episodes were really solid, very paid homage to the content that came before, but feels very unique, new, fresh, original, whole different concept going on and hitting on already beats that I'm like, oh man, this is already, because Adventure Time was on Cartoon Network, this is on Max. They can get a little bit more PG-13 with this, and they're going places that I'm really excited to see how they nail this ending of this first season.
Awesome. I was not an Adventure Time. Like, I was like a side, like, I don't know. I watched regular show. Like, those two shows always came on. I didn't get into Adventure Time much. So maybe it's time to catch up.
I think the thing with Adventure Time is there's a lot of episodes that are just episodes. But when they get, you know, it's back in that time where it was taboo to have plot animated shows. And so once they get into the plot and you get into the plot heavy stuff, it's pretty fun. I could see out of all animation, I do think it could be your journey because it is that kind of like fantasy, medieval-y kind of vibe, D&D-ish, you know, but it's got that vibe to it a little bit too.
Yeah. All right. I've got two recommendations kind of in the similar vein, one that I haven't experienced yet and then one that I have. And they're both video games, right? But there's a new game that's coming out tomorrow that I am super excited about, and I want to make sure it's on everyone's radar. StarCraft is here, baby. StarCraft is the next game from Bethesda, who famously made games like Skyrim and Fallout. So, you know, if everyone has heard of those games, you know what to expect. But this is like Skyrim in space, right? We're talking about Star Wars. We're talking about sci-fi. If that's something you're interested in, definitely check out Starfield and then like hit me up because I'm going to be playing it. And I want to hear people's thoughts. Are you going to, is that any interest to you, Tommy?
I've heard of this. Like, I feel like it's been, I've definitely heard of it. I am interested. I feel scared because it feels very overwhelming. There feels like there's a lot out there already. That's my only, it's the same with like, I don't know if you heard of Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
But that's another one that feels very heavy to jump into because it's the only thing that helps me there is it's a D&D inspired, I believe, or D&D's game. But like, if I try it, I would need you to help walk me through and set me up with anything I need to know.
Well, how about when I actually play it, I'll tell you if you should play it.
Okay, good. That's fair.
Now, a game I have been playing that is a lot of fun is called Teardown. And Teardown is kind of like a 16-bit type. It's kind of like Minecraft almost, but a little more scaled up, I guess, where like you're kind of dropped into this world and you have these missions and the entire point is to like destroy things. And it's so much fun. Like you're driving trucks into buildings to get things. And, you know, there's so many, it's just fodder for so much stuff going on. And then the mods for this game are incredible. The game really embraces the mods, which you don't see a whole lot. Like you can, there's a mod, you could just, most games you have to go to a separate website to find the mods. The mods are in the game right and they're encouraged. So they're creating a lot of cool stuff with it. And it's a lot of fun. It's, you know, like back in the day, like I remember like when I first started playing the Grand Theft Auto games, like that, I would let my anger out on Grand Theft Auto games and I'll just leave it at that. But this is the game that like, you know, let some steam off and like blow down a building.
I've definitely heard of this game. I have not played it, but it has. I've seen the image of the icon.
You know when you're watching a TikTok and it's like, you know, a podcast or something, and then they have like the game below it, and like, you know, there's like a game going on. This that is used for a lot of those. So you probably have seen it in there. So
yeah, interesting.
Better than Subway Surfer though. Okay.
You hear that, Subway Surfer? We're anti you.
Tommy, what else before we sign off here?
I think that's it for me. I'm trying to think if there's any news out in the world. Bob Barker died. That was pretty sad.
You know, I wasn't, what was it, Price is Right? I didn't.
Yeah, well, you're not,
I'm not a game show guy.
I so. Was at 12 o'clock. You sitting, you know, there's not much on. It's either Soaps or Price is Right. So I did watch some.
Bob. I liked Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. That was like a big game show for me. So. All right, Tommy. Well, I will close us out here. I'd like to remind everyone to rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. Also, please subscribe because we're going to be here every single week with Ahsoka coverage. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Stark Wars Pod. And we also have a Discord community going on. So if that's something you're interested in, you can hit us up and we will get you in there. But that is all we got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening and we will see you next time.
Bye. Hey, it's just you and me here. Just want to say hi and appreciate you watching the podcast. And this is the time that I usually do some shenanigans and say bye in some sort of form of way. And people sometimes appreciate it. I've actually gotten no feedback on the bye. But this is the time where I say